Amen, fellas. You'll see if you got your outlines. This is something that I actually taught to our bus workers when I started to research it and thought we need to get on the ball. So I would encourage you, if you've learned anything from this workshop, to take it back to your workers and say, we need to get on the ball too. I did this a while back, and it's something that we need to do. A proper response to any situation is going to be vital to our bus ministry. The ability to quickly assess the situation, analyze the information, and then properly respond must be the ability of each one of our bus workers. You don't know which bus worker is going to find themselves in a situation where a proper response is going to be vital to your bus ministry. So you need to make sure that each one of them is prepared for such a thing. Bus captains, drivers, runners, and all other workers will one day find themselves in a situation that calls for an adequate response. This lesson is the first of a few. By the way, we're not going to get through all of it. It's the first of a few that will help you know how to respond to any situation. Number one is have undeniable proof. Please remember these things. In the 1980s, when the bus ministries were a marked characteristic of the fundamental church, legality was of little importance. Buses nearly falling apart, captains going to extreme limits to draw kids, and slipshod organization were all acceptable and fine. However, in the year 2006, bus ministries all across America are painfully aware of the legal thread of proof that must run through its entire ministry. So there are several things that you as a bus worker, as a pastor, or as a bus director are going to have to be able to prove. Very simple, we just need to be reminded. First of all, undeniable proof that all workers are emotionally, physically, spiritually, and legally fit for the position that they hold. Working with children on our buses is a ministry of great scrutiny in our society, due in part to the child molestation scandal plaguing the Catholic Church and the increase of child predators. All teens or adults interested in children are scrutinized. Are you really interested in my child? I know what the Catholic Church did. Now you're claiming to be a church worker? Are you sure you're really interested? Every one of your workers will be scrutinized by society by the simple virtue of what they are doing. So your sincere heart is not enough to prove that that person is an adequate worker. We must have several documents always on file and updated periodically. Once a year, I send this out. Every January, I could pull out sheets of all of my workers for 04, 05, 06, and 07. They're filed, and they will never, ever be disposed of. They are placed into a permanent file. Because if some kid, now please understand, I'm speaking of the legal aspect, okay, and that's all we're thinking about right now. If a child, years and years and years later, down the road, find themselves in a situation in life that they are not comfortable with, and they remember your bus, and they think that they can get something out of claiming something against your bus ministry, and they come to you 5, 10, 15 years later, and they say, well, listen, such and such a worker did this to me. You have to have undeniable proof that that bus worker went through a process in which they were approved by you. And so that's why if somebody said that to me back when I became, from the time that I'm the bus director, I can prove out a form and I can say, yes, we've run legal backgrounds. Yes, we've made sure they're not a child predator. Yes, we've confirmed all of these different things. And yes, yes.
Where do you get this up?
The criminal background, there's actually on the Indiana State. Look on the Indiana State Police website, and there's something. Now, there are situations where if someone comes right into our church, right off the bat, wants to jump right in, and sometimes you just get a feeling about people, there's just something there, then there are other places, other websites that are going to give you a little bit more detail, kind of nationwide rather than just statewide. And you can kind of tell how your spirit bears witness with those that are wanting to work. Understand that if there is a child predator out there who is very wise, and a lot of times they're wise and they're smart, and they see your buses rolling around town, the best way to get around kids is to do what? pretend, join your church, join your bus ministry, and then they get a chance to be around kids in an unlimited way. So you can kind of see what we're dealing with here. You have to have undeniable proof that you checked them out. So a signed application, signed bus workers requirement forms. I have forms, and I apologize because I should have got these to you. If you are very interested in these, I can give you copies of what we use. But I have forms that the people have to sign, an application where I accept or reject their application, where it gives me their previous church, and it asks questions that we need to know, like, has your license ever been suspended? Have you ever been put into jail? Have you ever been arrested? Do you know the prior history of your workers? Have any of your drivers ever had a suspended license? Have any of your workers ever been put in jail or arrested for anything? These are things that we need to be aware of. And I also ask for a copy of their driver's license and a periodic criminal background check like I've just stated to you. So we have all of these files. These are things you need to have. Mine are not original to me. I got them from the National Bus Conference, to be honest with you, okay? We were out there a while back. I saw these forms. I picked them up. I did a little bit more research, adjusted them a little bit, and I have them. If you need, you can look at ours and all that. And so, letter B, not only that all workers are fit, but all safety precautions possible have been taken. For example, that your buses meet all DOT standards. If your bus, God forbid, is ever in an accident, an automobile accident, whether serious or a non-serious one, and a state trooper shows up, he is going to want to know if your bus, your church bus, has had a DOT inspection. And if your tires are in bad shape, or if you're missing mirrors, or you are causing yourself on your bus to have failed the DOT inspection, or haven't even gone about getting a DOT inspection, it is going to look bad on your bus ministry. It is going to appear as though you were not concerned regarding the safety of your bus. And so every year, again, first of the year, we take our buses. There's a minimal cost unless they find things that are wrong. And that's fine, because I want to fix the things that are wrong. There's a minimal cost. You'll get a DOT inspection sticker. You'll slap it right on the inside of your bus when you walk in to the right. And that way you can see this bus has been DOT inspected. Also, that buses are kept clean and neat, therefore preventing any unnecessary accidents. Make sure that your buses are kept clean and make sure they're kept neat. Either have somebody like we have done in the past who is in charge of cleaning the buses, or at this point they actually are now a bus worker, so it's the bus captain's responsibility to make sure that his bus is kept clean and neat. What if it's not? Next time he's not allowed to give out anything on his bus. No snacks, no sweets, no candies, nothing for 1 week. All right, is it going to kill him? No. Just a little reminder, please keep your bus clean and neat. If you've got glitch and junk all over the floor and a kid slips or a kid hurts himself or something happens and they're going to come and they're going to take photos, pictures of your bus and they see that it's the messiest, trashiest thing they've ever seen, it's going to look bad on you. Number three is that the children are not picked up or dropped off in a compromising situation. Make sure that your kids don't have to cross a busy street or that they have to walk home a long ways. You know, one of the things I'm very fearful of, because a while back, let's see, about a year ago, we were picking up a child. She came, she got saved. She started to bring her daddy. Her daddy came and her daddy got saved. And this is a roundabout way that it opened my eyes, and it hadn't affected how I deal with these people anyway. But I just periodically, I go onto the Indiana State Police website, and they will link you to all of the registered child offenders. And I realized that this man that I had led to the Lord was a registered offender. And his daughter did not live with him. She lived with the mom. But he came to church, and I realized that he was on that list. Now, this is a roundabout way, but it helped me realize, what if there is somebody who sees our church buses full of kids, and they know that when you drop them off, it's kind of dark, they've got to cut right through a small alley, a real small alley, but they still have to cut through it, and they know because they have followed you. You never know, fellas, you never know. They have followed you for weeks, and they know when you drop them off, you pull off. and there is about a 30-second window where that kid is without view of you, the parents. Nobody knows where they're at for a 30-second window. So they decide one route, when you pull off, they're going to make their move, and they do something to that child. Who's it going to come back on? It's going to come back on us. So make sure your kids are not being dropped off in compromising situations or places. They don't have to cross busy streets. They don't have to do any of those things. Children are not picked up or dropped off in a dark alley. And that the children are to the bus and back, to the bus and back to the house each time. Here's what I do. I have somebody who is in charge, of course you guys know, we have a runner. As soon as the bus stops to pick them up, somebody runs to the door, knocks on the door, waits there, runs them right back to the bus. As soon as they get to the bus, I have a greeter standing right outside the bus saying, "We're so glad you're here, good, come on the bus." As soon as they get on the bus, I as the captain or the captains are standing right next to the driver. "We're so glad you're here, come on in." They have been watched every single step of the way. Now, I do the same thing when I drop the kids off. "All right, glad you came. Yeah, you know, sometimes when a kid gets off, you know, we always do hip, hip," and they're on the bus. "All right, you know, we'll see you next time." Make a big deal about it. And they get off the bus. The runner runs them all the way to the door, makes sure they get in, and then runs all the way back to the bus. That way, if ever anything happens, we can say, we take them from the bus to the door every time. They're never outside of our sight. And we have to be able to prove that. And that's why we make a regular and usual practice of doing that. If something happens, hey, it is that's the way we do it. We don't let them out of our sight. You've got to care for the kids, okay, because you don't know who's out there and who has some bad thoughts in their minds regarding what they're going to do.
Right.
Letter C is not, let's see, okay, all safety precautions have been taken. Letter C is the parents have granted their child permission to ride our bus to church. I wish I would have brought this up with me too. Jason, do you mind going to get in a bus book, please? Get a bus book and attendance book, okay? Though this seems basic, we must look at this point from a legal perspective. For example, one of your bus kids gets hurt at church and dies. The parents are initially in full support of our church. However, once contacted by an injury attorney, they decide to bring a $1 million lawsuit against the church. You know that there are actually attorneys that keep tabs on who's getting injured and hurt with doctors? And because it's happened before to people that I know, and they'll contact you and say, "Do you want me to help you bring a lawsuit?" They've called Christian people. So they come to me and say, "Pastor Lopez, can you believe that?" Well, yes, I can. But there are going to be some bus workers, and it's happened to me once. Several years ago that this happened, not in a church, I was working with another organization, but this very thing happened. We had something, we had an activity, and the child drowned, okay? Initially, after the child drowned, guess what? Parents, full support. They got contacted by some sleazy attorney, and next thing you know, we're slapped with a lawsuit. What do you do? Well, this came into play then, and it's going to have to come into play now. Because the parent's simple claim can be this: "I have never allowed my child to ride that bus to church." They can just say that. Though the argument seems to have no backing, the judge may look at you and say, "Can you prove that this mother granted permission for her child to ride the bus?" Captain, the question's yours. Worker, pastor, the question is yours. If you cannot prove permission, we lose the case. The church is in trouble. If you can't prove that she said, "Yes, my child can ride the bus," then she can say, "They just drove by and took him. I didn't even know it. I didn't realize it. They never asked permission." So we have to make sure to cover our bases. What we do is each one of our routes carries around has one of these. This is their bus book. This is their livelihood right here, okay? Once you open up this, what you find is these sheets. I just buy these sheets. I've done two things. Number one is we used to make our own, but I got away from that because it was too much of a pain. And it's just as easy to buy these from BB Publications. They probably have them down on their table. I haven't seen them. They're triplicate forms. They have them in single forms. They have them in triplicate. I get them in triplicate. That way we get one, Sunday school teacher gets one, and the Wednesday night worker gets one. And everybody's communicating with one another. What does it ask for? It asks for the captain's name. It asks for everything, but very, and it allows you even to keep attendance on the bottom. But very importantly, what it asks for is it says, "I give permission for my child to ride the church bus," and they have to sign it. You need to have that. You need to have that. You know that right after I taught this lesson, we had a kid that rode one of our buses that had moved away. The child moved back, but into a different neighborhood of the very same route. So they're picking up kids. Oh, you're back, Johnny. It's great. Great to see you. I'm going to come to church. Great. He comes to church. On the way home, he tells the captain, I don't live here anymore. I live over there. So they drop him off. They get off the bus. Mom is steaming mad. What? Why did you take my child? And who gave him permission? The captain, knowing that we had this right here, the captain says, well, ma'am, you know, you have actually granted permission. What the captain didn't understand is he was still in bad shape. Because we have permission granted from the previous location of residence, but not from his current location and residence. And here's what happened. I went back because every single kid that rides our bus that I have one of these for is filed also. Man, that's a lot of filing. I know, but we have to protect ourselves. And again, if 5-10 years later a kid comes back on me, I can go back to that year, pull out his card, and say his parents granted permission to come to church. And so I went back, I pulled out that card from the previous year. Guess what? The card was all filled out. No parent signature. Bad. Bad news. So when you do this, I told the captains, it's not acceptable. It is not acceptable not to have a parent signature. You have to get it. So what I do is, you know how you guys give out flyers on Saturday, what's coming up Sunday? I always put a dotted line at the bottom of the flyer, and on the bottom I put name, parent's name, age, birthday, address, telephone number, and then I put signature. And all it says is if you would like to ride the bus for the first time, please bring this with you. And then what happens then? Then what I do is I take these cards. You see some of these have blue forms kind of to the back of them. That blue form means they rode the bus for the first time. They just cut that right off. We stapled it to the back of this form and then went right back to them and got a parent signature the next Saturday. But at least we had this, which is permission just as well. Guys, we have to be able to prove that the parents granted permission in the first place to allow their child. Otherwise, they can just say you're abducting them and you have no ground, no stamp. Yeah, you may have heard them and they may have told you, but you have to have proof. Have a registration card with the accurate information and the signature, and have constant conversation with your bus families that everybody can prove, well, yeah, there's no way you can say that you didn't grant permission. He was in your house every Saturday for 10 minutes. He was in your house every Saturday for 2 minutes. You saw him every time. How can you say you didn't grant permission? That's going to help you too. Now, letter D is prove that not only that the parents have granted permission, but that the child was on our bus. 10 years from now, your current bus kid is 25 years old and is at a dead end in life. Looking for someone to blame, he remembers Faith Baptist Church and their bus ministry. To gain a few dollars and have a temporary purpose in life, he decides to bring a lawsuit against our church claiming verbal abuse on the bus. He claims the abuse he received in our bus has stripped him of his desire to live and has put him in his current situation. Unable to remember 10 years prior, the boy guesses and makes a bogus claim on a specific date. Can we prove whether or not the boy was on our bus on that given date? Remember, this is years later. We can if we keep Appier records now. Do not become slack on your sign-in sheets. This is the first year that I do this. Usually I take cards, attendance sheets, and I put them like this. In fact, I just started. So you can see that on these attendance sheets are right here. And you can see who does that. Just this year, however, I started something new. I came up with this thing. I took it down to Office Depot, and I had it bound. I had it bound in a nice cover. Every one of our routes has this, and it just has the route name on the bottom. When you open it up, it'll just have that. When you open it up, it says the date, the number of riders, the number of workers, the first-time visitors, and every kid. See, we just started. Every single kid that gets on that bus, first and last name, must be on that sheet. And I will go through them and make sure that the first and last name is on that sheet. At the end of the year, what do? I just put this in a box with my 2007 records. And if somebody ever comes back 10 years later, somebody can go to my 2007 records box, pull out the route, look at the exact date, and say, I will tell you everybody that was on that bus on that date. That's very important, okay? And if you're interested in this, I had this thing. I used more money on doing things, and now I'm learning how to do a little bit less expensive. This entire thing, to do this, cost me like $4 or $5, something like that, just to do this. And every single kid that rides the bus for the entire year will be in this book. $4 or $5, can't beat it. All I did was I put it on a little digital file. If you want me to do it to you, hand me a card or a sheet of paper. I will email you this. All you have to do is take it to Office Depot and say, here's the digital file. Can you just bind it? And it'll cost you like $4 or $5, something like that. It's a good idea. That way you can prove who was on your bus. First and last names, vital. Don't just put first names. Doesn't cut it. First and last names are vital, okay? And make sure you get the right dates and so forth. Well, that's good record keeping for you. Now, not only prove that the child was on your bus, but prove that the incident took place. Be sure to complete an incident report for any noteworthy incident that takes place on your bus. Anything that you believe may cause feedback or come back and get us. And so I have information here that I gave to our bus workers about what I want them to do. You know that it was last year on Wednesday night, we had buses, and we run our buses on Wednesday night, we have great crowds. On Wednesday night, we had a bus kid upstairs who was playing a game. You guys, you know you play those games. Here's donuts. Try to eat the donuts the fastest. Put in marshmallows in your mouth. You know those games? We were playing a game upstairs. I didn't know it. I was downstairs. One of our bus kids starts choking. All right? Whew. I'm glad I wasn't there because I don't know what I would have done. I'm CPR certified, but in the situation, when I get into it, oof, you know, I couldn't stand it. And they tried to do the thing, you know, and they tried to do everything. Nothing worked. And, you know, they say, don't put your fingers in their mouth. Don't do that. It hurts it. It was the last option. She was turning colors. They did, and they got it out, and they saved her life. And I thank the Lord for that. But when something like that happens, you want to be able to prove that the incident took place. You know that, oh my, there's horror stories. Our building is horrible because it has blind corners. And we have like an alleyway type thing that goes right by the front of our church where you guys walk in. Well, somebody was driving by 2 years ago, right around the corner, a couple of bus kids moved, stepped right out. There's no way they can see around that corner. No way. The kids came darting out to head to one, the next building. And as soon as they did, the person driving said all they saw was a shoe fly up in the air. Oh my, talk about nerve-wracking. Now granted, the child was okay. I guarantee I was in the hospital most of the night with their parents, you know, making sure that everything was going to be okay. And everything turned out fine. But anything big or anything small, get an incident report on it, file it, get the signatures of all that were there. All right? Now, knowing how to respond, lesson number two. It is necessary that our bus ministry do everything and anything possible to prevent any unnecessary accidents. The nature and definition of the word accident is that it comes without notice. This defining characteristic of an accident, therefore, strips us of the ability to counter it before it actually takes place. So though we cannot preempt an accident, we can develop certain precautionary habits that will help us prevent it. This lesson will give you a specific practice that each one of our bus workers should make habit. Provable good faith effort, Roman numeral 2. The actions of our bus workers should always demonstrate our sincere care or concern for the safety and well-being of our bus riders. We should always be able to prove that our actions demonstrate our consistent care for our riders. Safety on our bus, we must be able to prove. The following actions should be to take place within our bus. Number one, runners should always make every effort to walk the rider to the bus. I said that already. Number two, greeters should always be standing outside the door of the bus, watching the kids walk around the front and into the bus. Drivers, those of you that drive, have you ever been in a situation where a kid's going to be coming around from right to left or left to right, and through your rearview mirrors, you can see that there's a car coming? And we all know, at least in Avon, we all know cars don't stop for church buses. Some do, some don't care, and it infuriates me, but many of them don't stop. And there's been many a time that one worker is out there, one worker is walking the kid around the bus, and I will tell another worker, there's a car coming, you make sure you get out there, because all that kid has to do is step just one wrong step out too far, and that car hits them. So we want to make sure that we're proving that we're there, we're with them, we're watching to make sure this doesn't happen. And workers should always be placed in well-balanced positions throughout the bus. When your kids are on the bus and your workers are on the bus, make sure your workers are spread out through the entire bus. Where are your most unruly kids going to want to go first thing? Back seat of the bus. You're right. Well, yeah, they do it, don't they? Now, initially, what I do is I have I have my workers designated. You watch front, you watch middle, you watch back. You're the secretary. I am blessed. I get to have 5 or 6 workers per bus. And so I get to have workers with very specific roles, okay? Now, here's what I do. Worker that's working the back of the bus, as soon as we start off our route, kids start getting on, you stand 5 rows back every time the kids get on. Just kind of stand casually there. The kids aren't going to try to come and force and push through you. Just casually stand there, everybody. As we get more kids, you step further back. You step further back. You step further back. That way we have semi-control of where the kids are actually sitting. And then make sure the workers are evenly dispersed through your bus. Because if something takes place on the back of the bus, I've dealt with it and so have you. Oh, so-and-so kissed so-and-so in the back of the bus, and look what they, you know, those things like that. Well, what if a parent actually that cares, and I know a lot of times you're not going to find that, but what if a parent that actually cares says, wait, I heard that this happened on the back of the bus with my daughter. This boy kissed her. Is that true? Can you legitimately say right now that you know you have workers present through the entire bus and they're aware of what's going on, they're balanced? Granted, some of you don't have that luxury because you have 2 workers. I did for the very first time, like last 2 Wednesdays ago, I don't know what happened, it was crazy. I had to drive a bus and I had 1 worker on my bus with me. In those situations, you're going to have to deal with it. You're going to have to make do with what you got. But if not, make sure they're balanced. There's nothing that aggravates me more than workers that cluster themselves in the middle of the bus. Well, there's 3 teen workers. Hey, they're talking amongst themselves, and the whole bus is full of kids. What's going on? You know, oh, there's a couple of workers just talking with each other. That is an aggravation. Not only that, but it's not safe. It's not showing that we care about the kids. We're going to spread ourselves evenly and have our presence spread through the entire thing. And so we need to make sure that's the case. And rules should be reviewed and enforced every Sunday and Wednesday. Every pickup on Sundays, review the rules. Every pickup on Wednesdays, we review the rules. Every single time. I didn't know the rules. Ask the other 25, 30, 40 kids that are on the bus, and they're going to tell you they review them every single time. To the place that when it's rule time, it's like, oh, we got to hear the rules. You know, well, at least they know they're going to hear the rules, and they can never say they didn't, okay? They know what the rules are. Now, safety at the church. Now, this is very important. Riders should always be dropped off at the church in an orderly manner. A bus worker should accompany each group of riders to their appropriate Sunday school areas. Jason, have you given me any times? Okay. All right, good. Make sure workers go. Make sure workers accompany from the bus to the Sunday school areas. We're spread out. Our building is so old. I mean, you're in here. Look around. You know, look how old this part of the building is. It's horrible. And because of that, we have classes all in this area. We have classes in the downstairs area. On Wednesday nights, how bad is this? We've got classes over in the old bank building that we just bought, not the East Annex building now. We've got classes over there. So we have classes everywhere. So I make sure that we have a worker that or two that accompanies groups. 1 or 2 workers will come up here and will bring the group of kids here. 1 will go downstairs and will bring the group of kids there. But a worker must accompany them to their different locations. You guys ever had? I have, because of our location. And I'm trying to think. I know Greenwood Bible Baptist. I know Pastor Paul, you're kind of on the main drag too. You guys have ever had kids come? Like mainly you're going to have teenage problems with this. They come and then they just end up missing from any class. You know that we, surprisingly so, haven't dealt with this very much, but all of a sudden, like 6 teenagers were missing from the teen class a few weeks ago. Guess where they were? At the McDonald's across the street. They walked across 267 through the Kroger parking lot all the way to the McDonald's, and they found their way there. What does that mean? It better not mean that our workers did not walk them to their class. I would rather it be on the responsibility of the Sunday school class or the youth pastor making sure he keeps them there. But our workers better get them there. And once they're there, then they better be watched, but they better get them there, okay? And 2, the bus number of each rider should always be identifiable. We have stamps. And again, we bought these for like $4 or $5. There are stamps that are about that big around. They're that big around. On the top, it says FBC, and then it has the bus number, 1, 2, whatever it is. And so as soon as the kid gets on the bus, the first thing they do is the secretary writes their name down, first and last name. The next thing they do is if they don't have this sheet right here, then we make sure that we get that from them. And then the third thing that we do is we have somebody else that just stamps the thing right there so they know. After every Sunday, we all meet where we're going to have lunch in a little bit. All the bus kids are in there. And all I do is say, bus number 3, they go right out the back. And they know what they are because that's the case. This scared me to death, but not too long ago. In fact, it was at the middle to end of last year. Somebody came up to me because there was a boy. He was a boy that I had found for another route. I go visiting as a director for other routes. I had found him on Saturday. He came on Sunday to church. His very first time. Sunday school ends. When Sunday school ends, somebody comes up to me and says, Pastor Lopez, here's this boy. I'm like, hey, how you doing, Brandon? What are you doing? Here's what he was doing. He was standing. You drove up to our church right off Rockville Road. You see how bad Rockville Road is? Maybe it wasn't bad this early. It'll be bad later, okay? It's bad. But he was standing at the church sign, right on the side of Rockville Road, crying. Because he didn't know where the bus was, where to pick it up at to go home. He thought it had left him. So he's standing on the side of this busy road, while looking around and wondering why the bus left him crying. One of our church members sees him out there, brings him in, and we understood him. I put that on the shoulders of our bus workers. You've got to inform them. You've got to know what's going on. And he has to know where he goes. So make sure that you do that. All right, now turn to the next page. Be aware of your bus riders between Sunday school and the service. Some of you guys, this is hard to say because you may do it differently. We have Sunday school, and then from Sunday school, we go to the service. And I want to make sure the kids get from Sunday school to service. All of our kids, bus kids, at this point, there may come a point where the auditorium is too crowded, and we have to keep the kids separate. At this point, we send them all into the auditorium. They sit all in the middle section, in the front, the first several rows, and also in the side sections. They sit there for the first part of the service, and then we dismiss them to junior church. We want to make sure they get there, okay? This is their time. This is their time. In the chaos of all the shifting, it's their time to leave. It's their time to go. It's their time to go eat McDonald's or whatever it is they're going to do. Make sure that's not the case, okay? Now, safety, closing the deal. Demonstrate safety and being sure the kids arrive home safely. Before you leave the church for the bus ride home, be sure all riders are on the bus. I remember, this is crazy. We had started a route, and they were having a rough go because they're in more of a middle-class area. And I told them they'd have a rough go. But I could not believe it when my cell phone rang, and out of their 7 kids, they were start off with a van. Out of their 7 kids on the van, they had left one at the church. 7 kids, fellas, all right? You guys have 40, 50, 60, whatever you have. You've got to be sure that you get all the kids on your church bus, okay? I could not believe it when my cell phone rang. I'm on another bus, and they said, we left a kid behind, Pastor Lopez. And I'm thinking, which route are you? You only had 7. You know, how could you leave 1? But it happened. And so you guys are going to have to make sure that you close the deal by all the kids getting on the bus. What do I like doing? I like doing this. Have the secretary be the first one to the bus. Stand at the door. She knows your kids. As the kids get on the bus, she just checks them off. Nobody, once they get on, gets off. They're on to stay. And so all I have to do is say, all here, all here. Let's go. All right, and get them home quick. All right, there you go. The most efficient way to accomplish this is by doing what I've just told you to do. All right, number 2 is do not drop off riders at a different location from which they were picked up unless they have a signed note. You have probably dealt with this, haven't you? Oh, I'm going to go over to my friend's house. Can you just drop me off there? My answer is always no. Well, my parents said that it's okay if I go home with so-and-so. No. And my kids know. If you want to be dropped off at a different location from the location we picked you up, then I'm going to need a form signed by your parents that says, please drop off my da-da-da-da-da, and it's going to have them. And even then, it's, oh, God, thank God for cell phones. It's always good to call the parents and just confirm that, all right? So make sure you do that. And never leave the kids outside a locked door. It breaks my heart most of the times because I'm very tired. When I drop off a kid and the parents aren't home, you know what it's like. And you're thinking, man, I want to get the rest of this route done. You know, the fatigue is what breaks my heart. I understand, but my heart breaks for the kid too. But man, it does. It does. I have to end with this, fellas. On the next page, lesson number 3, I have a packet. It's about this size right here. It's those envelopes, mailing envelopes. In that mailing envelope, I have sheets, I have a camera, I have a pen, and I have insurance information. At any time, it hasn't happened yet. Anytime our bus gets into an auto accident, you know, because everybody gets flustered, I tell our workers, you take charge. Don't let the other people involved in the accident take charge. You do it. But I'm flustered. What do I do? All they're going to do is go to the bus. There's a form, an envelope that says what to do after an auto accident. It's on all of our vehicles. All they have to do is open up that form, and I tell them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And, of course, listed on that in there is call me, okay? And it has all of my numbers. That way, we take charge. We're in command. Here's exactly what to do. Here's what to take pictures of. Here's what information to get. And all of the information that's necessary. That way, they never have to worry about it. Because auto accidents, you know, with big buses, we're so big, we take up a big part of the road, they're going to happen. Fellas, I got to end with this, but we must be sure. I know we're thinking about our bus ministries now from a different perspective. We're trying to cover our bases. I am not going to let this stop us or stop me from running buses and from adding more buses. I'm not going to let it stop me, but I am most certainly going to be organized, and I'm going to be a good steward of the information that I have. So if something hits our church, I don't want our several hundred people to look at Pastor Lopez and say, he wasn't on the ball and making sure we had what we needed. And pastor, youth pastor, bus directors, whatever, you need to make sure that you're in the same boat. Don't let our lack of preparation put us in the boat to where we have no backing, all right? These are some things that are going to help you out, wise litigation, all right? Hey, thanks for coming. Anything you guys need, feel free to talk to me anytime, okay? Thank you, guys.